As we continue on in our study of Daniel, we hope this is a blessing. And some of you have mentioned about how much you enjoy the story of Daniel and these things that we've looked at here. We trust that today will be a blessing to us. We're looking particularly, as we'd already looked at, certainly the testimony that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, you know, in disobeying the king and that civil disobedience, but being obedient to God in doing so, that we hope that it's certainly a blessing to you. And we trust that that will certainly be the case. The narrative that we have here certainly gives a glorious boldness and marvelous deliverance of these three holy people, holding their life that they were separated from the things of the world and separated from the pagan culture, although they were honored because they were certainly trustworthy and given a great place in over the province of Babylon. But we certainly think that this ought to work in our minds an excitement. It ought to enact in our minds a firmness for the things of the Lord. It ought to enact in our minds a steadfastness in upholding the truth in the face and in the teeth of tyranny, that we would be faithful to the Word of God, that in facing even the very jaws of death, as was the case for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because the warning said if they don't bow down to the pagan kings, then they would be cast into the fiery furnace. And all this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were firm. They were steadfast. They stood for the Word of God. They stood for His truth in the face of this ruthless king, Nebuchadnezzar. And they stood that way, even knowing that it could bring death to them. But they were faithful. They were faithful to the things of the Lord. We pray that as we look at this, that their example in their fiery furnace trial will be a time of strengthening for us, that it would not bring about any fear about what man may have in mind for us, but rather that we would be faithful. May we not lose our integrity when everything else is gone and what the world may have. When everything else is gone, may we hold fast to the eternal God who does not change and whose word is eternal and immutable, and hold on to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we hold on to those eternal things in the face of a changing world, that as it changes, it moves further and further away from the things of the Lord. And so we trust that this will be the case for us this morning. This is an age that requires studying this example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and actually through the history of the church, in different ages of the church, there's benefits that can come to God's people. And it certainly is a good time to study this, so we would see that those would adhere to the truth of God's Word, would adhere to it firmly and not depart from it, because there's such a spirit of compromise and apostasy in our day. And we would just encourage you to be faithful as you look at this particular matter that's spoken of here. We see whether we would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're told in the Scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's not forget to seek ye first. I spoke to someone recently who wanted to dwell on, you know, all these things will be added unto you. And I said, you forgot the first part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we trust in that. We trust in the promises of God's Word. And so we think of that even in regard to this. And to be content with the things that we have, that God through His sovereign power has blessed us with, and that we would use them for His glory. We would do well to remember that we would have great contentment concerning the things of God. We see in 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. And there we read, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There were those, and even as I think about, you know, with in our Sunday school class this morning, talking about covetousness. And we think like the opposite of that would be satisfied with the things that God has bestowed upon us, and to remember that. And knowing as we look at these different verses about godliness, that there is provision from the Lord as he sees fit. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 40. Deuteronomy 4, verse 40. Then thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong the days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. And a number of other verses that we could look at. And also in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we need to mark that in the providence of God, that and following in His standards of righteousness and doing those things that are according to His Word, that it should be the case that God blesses and continues to bless. And may it be that we would be diligent to follow in the things of the Lord and trust in His provision. He will give His promise that He's spoken of here. We think of how He's abundantly blessed us in regard to spiritual things. All those that know Jesus Christ and Savior and Lord know that we've been delivered from an eternal punishment, and we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. He's given us the blessing and the great spiritual wealth of spiritual joy. We would certainly be wise to remember that, as the Scripture says, that a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's not what a man's life consists in. And as was mentioned, as I mentioned about the Sunday school lesson again, you know, that saying, you know, about he who dies with the most toys wins. And I do remember, well, we know about Boyd Roth, having passed away recently, but I remember quite a few years back, and he had attended a funeral here in town. I remember him telling us about this, and someone evidently that was very, very well off and had a lot of the things of the world. And he said that they stressed that idea during the service that they had for the man, that he who has the most toys wins. And so it wasn't so bad that he died the way he did, because he won. He had all these material things. And Boyd Roth, I might say, was wroth with anger for people having been told something like that. And knowing that it's so contrary to the Scriptures. But some people have that in mind. But we think the blessings that comes, that you know, whether we would might ask for the greater riches, it might be in other parts of the world. But may it be that if necessary, that we would burn in a fiery furnace rather than turn away from the things of the Lord. May we have that same willingness to do whatever the Lord would have us do, and that we would suffer for the cause of Christ. But may it be that we would never, ever deny the truth of God's Word. May we never, ever bow down to the idols of this world. May we never, ever bow down to those who would order us to walk contrary to the things of God's Word. We want to think on several points this morning concerning where God's people often find themselves. In the text here, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. And so, certainly, there's ancient records of this that we have, and as it's recorded in Scripture. But we think about what sort of fiery furnaces that may be around today. What sort of fiery furnaces may we encounter even today? Maybe not in the literal sense of a fiery furnace, but we want to think about it just a minute. What are the kind of furnaces that men kindle? What is a fiery furnace that a man might kindle? As if there weren't enough misery in this world, men are the greatest torturers of their fellow men, And we see that abundantly evident. Now, I don't know if any of you saw that scene that that was shown on the news several times. I know it's on the internet. Think about that motorcycle gang that attacked that those people, husband and wife, and their little girl riding in the car. They were riding on the street in New York City. And here's this large gang of motorcyclists who evidently are doing this on a regular basis. You know, they get out, you know, like 40, 50, 60, or 70 of them, and they just block the whole road. They block every bit of it, don't let anybody through. And anyone tries to get through, then they torment them, harass them. And some of you saw this picture, and this man got, you know, feared for the life of his family and took off in a rapid way and ran over one of the bikers and broke his legs. And then, of course, the guys on the motorcycle caught up with him and beat him quite severely. But if we think about what man will do to man, we think about the torment that men will do in creating maybe not a fiery furnace, but how they'll torment and persecute other people. We've mentioned about Saeed Abedini, you know, there in that prison in Iran. We think about as he's beaten, as he's denied any sort of care, any sort of treatment. We think about that and how terrible that is. We think about what mankind demonstrated there in Kenya, you know, in that attack at that mall and what was done there. Just the most horrible things that you could ever really imagine what were done. And you think about the torment that mankind puts upon mankind. All these elements and all their fury and like wild beasts attacking and destroying. We think of this and we see famine and we see pestilence. When we think about one of the reasons that there ended up being 450 children there in the school, there in Bala, because a number of those are refugees from southern Sudan that fled down there because they were being bombed regularly. Their hospitals were being bombed and families were being destroyed and children were losing their lives because the Muslims attacked that particular area because there were quite a few Christians that lived in that southern part of Sudan there. And it was a terrible, terrible situation. They had to flee. But the things that mankind will do to mankind are certainly terrible, and we see it evidence today, just as it was, you know, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we see these things, and there's animosity towards the things of the Lord. There's animosity towards Jesus Christ, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's this animosity, and there's these fiendish deeds that people think up to try to do them in and to destroy them. We think about, in regard to this, sometimes we kind of lose track of this, but in John chapter 15, verse 18, John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And then in 1 John 3, 13, 1 John 3, 13, and there we read, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And it's a shame, but we see that taking place. And Christ said that if they hated me, they'll hate you. And we're told in Scripture, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're told of that. And as the Scripture says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And we see abundant evidence of that today. And as we had just said, you know, just a huge number of Christians just in the last 2 weeks who have died. A huge number of Christians who've over the last several months in Egypt who have been killed by Muslims down there. And just vast destruction and taking it place in other parts of the world. And some people would think that some of these words are out of date or old-fashioned or what it may be. But even if we're, and we are out of the time of the apostles, but these words that we have recorded, these words that we have recorded in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, and the epistle that that John wrote. We see that the heat of the furnace is an actual time of persecution that's taking place. And we would ask ourselves, do we have the fortitude? Do we have the strength of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we would stand against this wickedness that we see in this world? And that we find out that there's times when we feel the heat of that furnace, or it may come due to persecution. Certainly, there would have been a lot of people. There's a lot who would like to mount up to heaven like Elijah in a chariot of fire, you know, and their spirits and the body, you know, spirited away to heaven. And for they were guarded by ministering spirits whom God had made, as the scripture says, as flames of fire, but they were delivered from persecution. We think about thousands of the precious sons of Zion who have been left to rot in the dungeon, who have been slain upon the mountainside, or who have perished in want and in extreme poverty and extreme lack of things, and that this being done to those who are believers. We think of this, and we think of the diverse ways and painful ways people have suffered for having borne the cross of Jesus Christ. The missionary who was out with his two sons in India, and they decided that they would sleep in their vehicle overnight. And the Hindus came and set the vehicle on fire and killed all three of them. And that's, you know, in more recent times. And so throughout history, there's this vindictiveness against believers. And there was this threat that was made against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we're not going to bow down to the king's pagan god. We're not going to bow down to it. And they were faithful. And we, as we said, we have our fiery furnaces through which we go. As we've talked about Peter and Judith over the years, and certainly Peter has really been tormented and persecuted, and bears in his bodies the marks for his being faithful to the Lord, and being very severely tormented and imprisoned and by a certain want, and has suffered greatly for it. It's not something that's only back in the time of Daniel. It's not something that's only back in the time of what we have recorded in Scripture. But it goes on today. It goes on this very time. We think of the passage in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and other prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead again to raise to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain the better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. And the record there in that part of the heroes of faith talks about the whole history of God's people, the people of Zion, God's people. It's recorded that they're suffering for the cause of Christ. It says they had cruel mockings and scourgings. And this thing has gone on, and we recognize it. This happens. And we think about the covenanters and they're suffering for the cause of Christ. And some of you are familiar with that because of what we've had here in close to Reformation Sunday, or in the some of the films that we've shown previously. But we see these things, and we recognize that there are fiery furnaces that have been common throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of God's people. And we need to remember the faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Another furnace that we might experience, and some difference, is in the form of oppression. This was certainly done to the Egyptians, to the people of Israel, when they were in captivity in Egypt. And they were made to do hard bondage, making brick and mortar. And then things were taken away that would make their job even more difficult. And so they were certainly oppressed. And oppression is certainly far from being killed for your faith, but it's one of the forms that a government may use, a tyrant may use against God's people, and you know, just to wear and to tear and to oppress and to harass them. And we're concerned about that. Sometimes the furnace that may come our way is the furnace of slander. The one man wrote, "The ripest of fruit will be pecked at most by the birds." And those who are faithful to the Lord and who are bearing fruit, you know, will be pecked at by the world. And I know some of you have mentioned about things that you heard people say about you or in regards to the church, that you recognize that those things happen. And so there's a fiery furnace, certainly not like with the three Israelites, but certainly a fiery trial when there's frequent slander for the people of God. And we ought to remember that we ought not expect the world to speak well of us. And we're told in the Scripture, "Beware when all men speak well of you." You know, we figure, well, if that's the case, we must have done something wrong. We must not be following the ways of the Lord. But we don't seek to have the praise of the world. We just don't seek it. Because we know there's this opposition. And then we're asking in the Scripture, you know, shall the disciple be above his master, or the servant above his Lord? No, and certainly, as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without sin, was scorned and slandered and mocked and suffered these things, and false things were told about him. We're not above him. Certainly not. And if our master suffered in that matter, we ought not to be surprised that we would suffer in that matter. In the time of Nehemiah, the accusation or the slander ran this way, that this city of Jerusalem of old made sedition against kings. They tried to stir the people up. And we've read elsewhere in the Scripture where they said of the apostles, the accusation that was made against them, that they were turning the world upside down. Well, praise God. Praise God that they did that. But this slander, as if they were divisive, as if they were causing difficulty in the reign and rule of some tyrant. And so we see these things, that the one Lord who will execute righteousness and who will execute judgment for all those that are oppressed. We're confident of that. You know, those that would seek to bring that torment, you know, will be dealt with in God's good time. Another furnace, fiery furnace that we encounter sometimes, or and great bellows are used to intensify the heat. We see this, and that's the fire of temptation. Satan can fire that up and can turn us away from the things of the Lord and just what appears might be the least little thing. Certainly, Satan knows our besetting sins. Now, let me say, we'll never put Satan on the same level as God. You know, he's limited. He had to ask God permission to do what he did to Job. But Satan certainly knows the belittling sins in our life, those areas of weakness, those areas of vulnerability in our life, and we need to guard against that. And I hope Terry won't mind me mentioning this, but I know how he's told me, he said he starts every day and asks the Lord to help him keep clean from alcohol and drugs. Ask it every day when he gets up. And so, but we have our vulnerabilities. We have our weak points. And Satan, you know, has a fiery furnace that he puts the wind to make it hotter and hotter, to try to get us caught up in these besetting sins that are a part of our life. And we need to guard against it and to recognize that the evil one knows our besetting sins. He knows the infirmities that we have. He knows the temper that we have. He knows those things that can really provoke us and get us to speak in a way that's not glorifying on the Lord. And he understands about how to bait the hook, you know, to catch those who would be fall into temptation. We need to guard against that. And I know I heard about a long time back about someone who had fallen in a particular temptation, and it just has brought havoc like you can't imagine. You know, the things that resulted from that in this person's life. It's just a terrible, terrible thing that's happened that way. So there's those temptations that come our way, and Satan knows how to stoke the fires on that, and we need to guard against that. And but we would need to remember too the command that's given to us to resist the devil, that he would flee from you. We also think about how there might be the way Satan would work, you know, trying to stir up these matters where we would deny the faith when he brings accusations against us. And that relates to sometimes we fall into this lack of assurance of our salvation. I tell you what, if God saved you, he's not going to leave you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We said, no one will pluck you out of my hand. So when Satan whispers in your ear that there, in a figurative way, we think of this, where we've done some particular thing and make accusation against us, like, how could you be a believer and done what you did? How can you really say that you're a Christian and you've acted the way you have? And these whispers from Satan, these things that come, these accusations come, and to turn us away from the things of the Lord. The very sin which the tempter himself has incited us to commit, he brings against us when we've committed it. And so we need to guard against that and to be well grounded in the things of God's Word. And thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so we remember the example of Christ in the wilderness when the tempter came there. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And how did he reply each time? Was quoting God's Word. It's the way you face temptation. And may we be equipped to be able to do that. There's also the temptations or the accusations that may come, accusations of blasphemy. For a while, tormenting us with certain insinuations, he has a way of saying those things that are contrary to the Scriptures, that are blasphemous against our God. Like, how can God love you and let you go through what you're going through? You know, how can... And we just think time after time after that. But we're grounded in the Bible. We're grounded in God's Word. And so when there's these times come and fiery furnaces come in our own life, we resist them. And we also know, we look in Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Of the Almighty. When we read this, we know that there may be trials that come from the hand of God. They come from His providence and His providential rule and His love for us as His sons and daughters. And as a child of God, a father chastens whom he loves. In Job chapter 23, Job chapter 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so there are these passages and others that we could look at. But we recognize it even when the chastening of the Lord comes. There may be a fiery furnace that comes in our life because of physical pain. Some people have health conditions that causes great pain for them and causes great difficulty. And every day is racked with pain and great difficulty. We think about that. And so there may be the furnace of physical pain. But it may be that for some time we rejoice that we have been in good health, but in God's providence, that good health is taken away. That good health is taken away, and there's difficulties that come health-wise. There might be some pain and suffering, and we think of that, and that can be a very difficult time. But may even in the midst of that fiery furnace, we would remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and be faithful to the things of the Lord. May we be faithful to that. Also, we think about, and certainly this can come, is the pain of bereavement that may come. The pain of the loss of some dear loved one, a spouse or a parent or a sibling or something like that, when some dear loved one is taken and God's providence is taken from this life. And those things can cause a great concern for us and sorrow. But what do we remember, though, from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they faced this fiery furnace in their life, they said, "We'll not bow down. Nebuchadnezzar, we'll not bow down to your pagan king. We'll not bow down to that idol." They were faithful in the things of the Lord. So there will be fiery furnaces that come in our life. May we not forsake our testimony. May we not fall into those ways that would be contrary to doing all things for the glory of God. May we be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they faced their temptation and when they came through it, I just want to add this one part quickly here for a moment. Nebuchadnezzar, what a testimony he had. He saw four people there in the furnace. He saw four people. You and I, when we go through our fiery furnace, the Lord's with us. The Lord's with us. Just like He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May we be faithful. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. Our Father, we're thankful that Your Word is true. And O Lord, as we know that we'll go through fiery furnaces ourselves, may we be faithful. May we remember the example of these three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And our Father, may we have strength as we would look to You, and that we would be faithful in our testimony, in our Christian lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.